He did not talk to reporters. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. When President Trump left the White House a short time ago to go to Walter Reed Medical Center for a medical checkup he calls routine and then a meeting with troops there, and in a few days, he plans to travel to Israel. As a ceasefire the president brokered for Gaza is in effect, Palestinians are walking along the waterfront in an exodus back to war-torn neighborhoods they'd fled. Israeli troops have pulled back to a predetermined line, complying with the deal, putting Hamas on the clock.
Hamas now has 72 hours to release all 48 hostages, 20 living, 28 assumed to be dead. They've got to free those hostages if it holds to the deadline by 5 a.m. Eastern on Monday. Prime Minister Netanyahu earlier addressed the nation today. He once again stressed that Hamas has to not only release all 48 hostages, but that they have to disarm completely.
Fox's Steve Harrigan in Tel Aviv. The president did not win the Nobel Peace Prize today like his supporters wanted for his Gaza peace plan. Instead, the prize was awarded to a Venezuelan opposition activist, Maria Corina Machado, who thanked the president for supporting her. Last month, Machado told Fox,
there are more than 800 political prisoners that are under the horrible conditions, inhumane conditions. They have been tortured. They have been hurt. Everybody that raises their voice here in Venezuela is threatened.
There are troops on the streets and a crackdown on crime in another city, Memphis. A National Guard deployment supported by Tennessee's Republican governor. Unlike the Trump deployments blocked by federal judges in Portland, Oregon, and suburban Chicago, Illinois, Fox's Garrett Tenney's there this morning.
Another big crowd here outside this ICE facility for the sixth straight week, and already this morning we've had a handful of arrests. When these trucks start to come through bringing individuals that ICE has arrested that are bringing for processing, that is when this crowd really gets riled up.
America's listening to Fox News.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the costs of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs. Whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited, the point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless, because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
From the News 11's Information Desk, I'm Jelena Aguilera. Yuma police say they have arrested a man in the shooting death of a teen. Yuma police say the shooting happened on September 12th on 17th Avenue Street near the East Main Canal. When officers arrived, they found a 14-year-old victim with a gunshot wound to the head. The victim died a week later. Police say the investigation continued. Detectives established probable cause to arrest the suspect. He was taken into custody. He's booked at the Yuma County Jail on one count of second-degree murder. Plus, YCSO has officially launched a new automated notification system called VersaTerm, Community Connect. The system is designed to help keep citizens in the know after requesting assistance from the sheriff's office. Through the system, a caller will receive an update via text or email approximately 15 minutes after their call if a deputy response is delayed. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
A chance of rain through the weekend and a flood watch in effect until early Saturday. 79 overcast tonight. Cloudy, humid at 90 on Friday. 76 Friday night. Slight chance of rain on both Friday and Saturday. Humid and 95 on Saturday. 71 and clear on Saturday night.
Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis, senior wealth advisor. Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk here, Tom Rush, and I got a guest on today, appropriate timing, tax accountant person, Jeff Reitkamp. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Good to be here.
So we got the big deadline coming up, the final deadline, right? October 15th?
Yeah, it's funny. I think more people file on extension than they do on tax day on April 15th. So we got about five more days to get a bunch of tax returns done.
Do you really think most people, there's more people filing late than filing at regular time? I mean, you said that. Were you joking or is that?
No, I mean, looking at the workload that we're doing, it's pretty constant. People used to say, oh, I bet you're glad April 15th's over. And the tax business really is a full year, lots of activity, right? Because especially the more complicated tax returns, you see a lot of
businesses.
People, yeah, businesses. A lot of people with the simple returns, yeah, they want to get their refunds. They want to get them done on time. But, you know, the companies that are the people that have multiple businesses, K-1s, a lot of activity going on, a lot of times they don't even get their information until after tax day.
Right. Hey, I guess we should do a better introduction here, but go ahead and give a little history here. I know you just opened up an office here in Yuma. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we opened an office here, Yuma Tax Group. Look forward to helping the Yuma community. I've actually been coming out to Yuma from the Chandler area for 8 or 9 years now. Have worked with lots of folks in Yuma, and there's a demand here, and it was time to open an office and actually have more of a presence to help serve people here.
Now, a little bit of background on yourself. Well, first of all, let me tell you how we met. So we met through kind of a mutual friend, but you kind of came in as a consultant, more like at a higher level. You want to talk about that just briefly, like how we met?
Yeah, well, you were our first client out here in Yuma, obviously, Tom. And we had started a let me back up before we talk about you and me. I'll just tell you a little bit where I come from. I'm not a career accountant, a career tax person. I've spent over 20 years in corporate America in the traditional finance roles, running companies, doing operational finance, managing P&Ls. I've been at big companies. I've been at small companies. I've done startups where I've been, held many roles, but, typically like a CFO type role where it is, you wear many hats. You have to make money when you open a company like that. So my business partner and I, we decided to go out and use our skills from all these big companies to help start small businesses. That's how we met you. And we realized that, we wanted to do the CFO roles. We wanted to do the high-level strategic. That's where the fun is, right? The accounting is a necessary evil, if you will, in order to allow you to make good decisions. And so, we found out very quickly that even in these CFO, contract CFO roles, that a lot of the accounting wasn't up to par, right? We had to go take a few steps backwards and rebuild the accounting so we had accurate information in order to, help people like you make the decisions we were looking to make. So that's how we got into the accounting and then obviously the tax world.
No, my accounting was up to par, right? Come on, you got to tell people.
Oh, yeah, you were perfect.
You were pretty caught up.
You were caught up, yeah.
I guess the point being, though, is a lot of small businesses have the best intentions ever, and then life goes on, and pretty soon they're like a quarter, two quarters behind, right?
When you're a business owner, and I'm a business owner, frankly, accounting is the last thing you want to really worry about. You got to take care of your customers. You got to pay the bills. You got to make sure there's money in the bank. And so accounting doesn't slip because people want it to slip. It's just the last thing on the list that needs to get done. And, we do see, I've got people right now that have 4 or 5 years of back taxes. They just dropped off all their information and they got to get caught up. It's this burden. A lot of people carry this burden on their back, when the taxes aren't done.
Well, we see this in the financial world, when people have issues with that, they just want to kind of stick their head in the sand and they know, there's a problem and they know that they probably have to at some point fix it or at least discuss it. But human nature is just put your head in the sand. And so I'm sure those people didn't want to get behind 2, 3, 4 years in taxes, but that's where they're at today by not conquering their fear of getting it done, right?
Yeah, if you don't pay your electricity bill, you're going to get a notice in a week or two. They're going to say, hey, we're going to pay your bill or we're going to shut you down. If you don't pay your taxes, usually the IRS doesn't catch up to you for 3, 4, 5 years. It just depends where you are in the blip, on their radar and if you've been involved with them before. So a lot of people are out of sight, out of mind.
Well, if the government stays shut down, we're okay, though.
Absolutely not.
But the other problem with people not paying their taxes, and I say like business owners too, is that money somehow just filters away. So now not only do you get caught up on your taxes, but you usually have a big tax bill that could really, you know, wipe out.
Sometimes, but I see a lot of people that we file 3 years of taxes for, and they get refunds. They're losing out on the money that they've deserved.
They're just not doing the paperwork?
They're just not doing the paperwork. It's out of sight, out of mind, yeah.
Yeah. Not good.
So we'll talk more about, I think, businesses, but what are some of the big challenges that you see with businesses? I mean, I think you just said doing the accounting side is a big challenge. What some other big challenges do you see business owners need to focus on?
Well, from a tax perspective, it requires a lot of strategic planning, believe it or not. There are different ways you can structure your company. There are different things you could take advantage of in order to, you know, pay the amount of taxes that you need to pay, that you should only pay.
Yeah.
And there's no easy
one fix
manual out there. Yeah, it requires a lot of putting the pieces together. And so I see a lot of companies are just not structured correctly. So that means that they can't
sole proprietorship when they shouldn't be? Or what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, you could be, one of the big ones is, a lot of people form an LLC. And then if you don't categorize that correctly as an S corporation, once you get to a certain threshold in profits, you're going to be paying a lot more in what we call self-employment taxes. Just because that...
And self-employment taxes like FICA and Social Security?
Yeah, Social Security and Medicare. So the government says if you're not paying your fair share, and most people don't, right? When you're a small business owner, you just kind of take owner withdrawals. You pay yourself when you need to, move money to your personal account, but you're not paying your Social Security and Medicare every 2 weeks like somebody on a W-2 would. So, that builds up throughout the whole year, and then they realize that they got to pay taxes, and then they've got this huge amount, 15.3% of your net goes to Social Security and Medicare. And it's also a good thing to be able to put some money into that, for retirement.
Yeah. So, I mean, I see one of the things, I see businesses that are pretty well, developed for Yuma, and you start asking questions and you find out that's still a sole proprietorship. And they got, a fleet of trucks and many employees. And the big risk that I see there, and I'm not an expert, maybe like you are, but is that, there's a liability because sole proprietorship can get sued. And that's like suing, like, say, my Tom Rush or Jeff Reiskamp. So that's at some point you want to try to get protection from bad things that can happen, right, to your business.
Yeah, and that's the main reason why you want an LLC, and that stands for limited liability company, which means as long as you treat the company properly, you are isolating your activities to that one entity, right? So if somebody trips and falls and wants to sue you because of your negligence, for having the carpet that's not pinned down correctly, they can only come after that entity, those assets in the LLC.
So give me an idea, if you had a guy who cleaned pools and one of his trucks got an accident and hurt somebody, then the lawyers can go after just his company, not himself personally.
Right, but there's also ways that lawyers, and they do this all the time, they can do what's called piercing the corporate veil. So if you don't treat your company like a company, if you treat it just like you treat your personal assets, they can say, well, this guy's not really a company. He's just operating as himself. It's just another entity. We're going to, not.
Yeah. I mean, an attorney can sue anybody technically. Well, so, but if you do it right, you, and also with creditors too, right? Not only is it about lawsuit, if you have credit issues, it isolates it to the LLC too.
Yeah, that's true. To an extent, obviously there's some things that you give personal guarantees for, but what I always tell people when they form a company, when we form an LLC, is just be very, very diligent about keeping your business expenses in the business bank account and your personal stuff on your personal side. Don't commingle.
Like the China wall kind of thing?
If you commingle, they're going to start, they're going to say this is not, you're going to lose some of that liability protection. But if you just be very, very smart about having a business account and treat it as a business, then you're going to, that's the best thing you can do to protect yourself.
You were talking to one of my clients who I referred to you. And I don't, we don't dig in our taxes because, for the most part, we do things at a higher level, but you dig into them. Is this person was making, and I'm just saying, $120,000 a year, give or take, but all that was not a pass-through, right? So he was paying FICA and all that. And basically, as a business owner, you can take a salary, which is, say, $50,000 a year or something that's appropriate, right? And then anything above that doesn't have that 15% charge or tax? Is that
well?
How that
let's
works?
Talk about that. Yeah. So when you get to a certain level, the government allows us to elect to tax our business as an S corporation. So we're not going to really change our LLC structure, but we get all the benefits of the LLC, the limited protection, and we get the benefits of an S corp. And the primary benefit of an S corporation is that it doesn't pay self-employment tax. So that all that profit that we just talked about that you have to pay that 15.3% Social Security and Medicare on is not there. Now, there are a couple caveats. You do have to give yourself a fair compensation.
Yeah.
And that's where when you give yourself a paycheck from your company to yourself, that's where just like everybody else now, you're going to pull out some FICA, some Social Security, some Medicare taxes, and pay the government every month or every 2 weeks, whatever you decide to set up. But that's how you're able to not have the whole entity pay the self-employment tax because you're paying just your fair share based on your compensation.
So like if the average compensation for a tree trimmer company or person, you can Google this stuff nowadays. It's all on the internet. It might be $50,000. I'm just throwing a number out. But you pay yourself an income of $15,000. That could be an issue, but you'd want to stay within. Now, if you don't make that much money, you could pay yourself $15,000. But if you're making $150,000 and paying yourself $15,000 for 40-hour work week, like that doesn't make sense, right? How do they?
Yeah, there's no guideline. It's a
honor system.
Well, yeah, it says fair compensation, right? And has been tested, you know, obviously. So if you are making a lot of money and you give yourself a small salary, they will say you're trying to.
Sure.
Play the system here, but yeah, typically if the company's making $100,000, you give yourself a salary of 40 or 50, so you are going to pay your self-employment taxes on that amount, but then the other $50,000 is essentially you're saving 15% of that.
Yeah, so it's about $6,000.
$7,500.
$7,500.
And you could do the math, right? It just we always start at 50-50, 50% W-2 salary and 50% as member draw, but then we can you can go up and down based on market and we try to go it's more advantageous obviously to give yourself a smaller fair salary that's still justifiable.
Hey, we're going to take our first break here. This is Money Talk 5-6 a.m. Be right back.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we've been proudly serving the community since 2001. Your financial future deserves the personalized care and expertise that only a local trusted advisor can provide. From retirement planning to wealth management, we're here to help you reach your goals with confidence. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here with Imperial Valley Wealth Management. We have our guest today, Jeff Reichskamp, who opened up Yuma Tax Group. So you're an accountant figure, consulting, I guess, business services. How do you explain yourself?
Yeah, well, like I said, we started out in financial world, in corporate type settings. Having that background allows us to really help, small businesses with everything from their accounting to their payroll to, helping them with business decisions and then rolling that into taxes as well. It's all
and natural. I think what you're saying is if you just focus on the numbers, the numbers are numbers and they got to get transposed somewhere on your taxes. But there's also some of the strategic side is what's probably more valuable to some degree, right?
Yeah, if you've got a construction company and you need a new truck, do you buy it or do you lease it? There's mathematical ways to figure out what's better for you, better for the company. This is something that a lot of small businesses they've never been exposed to that, so they don't know. And we're able to help provide some of that more advice.
So I'm glad you brought that up because this translates to my side, the investment management side. You get a lot of business owners that have a good year and they're like, we had a really good year, and like, okay, well, what did you you invest more money? I mean, put it away. Well, we bought a bunch of equipment, or we bought a truck, and you're like, well, how old was your other truck? Oh, it was only 2.5 years old. So a lot of these people think, to not pay taxes, you buy something, which does help them not pay taxes. But what I think they over and as you guys know, equipment and vehicles depreciate, which eventually it's going to go down to zero, right? I mean, it's not a great investment. But if you they don't understand the retirement side as far as businesses putting money away through a retirement 401k profit sharing, and they if you can just instead of buying a $60,000-$70,000 truck every year and you redirected that towards retirement money, well, you know, 5, 6, 7 years you got $500,000 there, and then you got some kind of stability on your retirement. So I guess what I see on my side is a lot of business owners are making money and doing things, but they're not positioning themselves to be financially secured. I mean, they're kind of like running on the treadmill. Every year they make money, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but they're not positioning themselves on how to stop the rat race and retire. Now, they might buy some rental houses or, you know, property, which it will help, but the thing about the retirement plan is it's all deductible off the business. So if the business made X amount of dollars and you put away with your employees and yourself, you know, you put away $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, well, that business shows it just didn't make that money, $50,000, $60,000. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, well, you know, you and I have helped many of my clients. I've sent them over to you to help them set up a self-employed IRA or self-employed 401k. A lot of people don't know they can actually create a retirement account with even having a small business. They don't have to be at a large corporation to get a 401k. And that is that you're right. It's
their a deduction
deductible
tool.
Expenses. And you can match it. That's even another deduction, right? Just paying yourself, and you are forcing yourself to put that savings away for another time. And I want to go back to your truck comment. You know, the depreciation on the vehicles. I get a lot of people that say, "Hey, I understand that if I buy a Escalade or a
6,000 pound or whatever,
a luxury SUV, I get to take a special deduction on it." Well, that's true. There's some bonus depreciation. Now, there's also some bonus depreciation laws that are coming in and out, you know, especially with these new laws that you could take advantage of that anyway. So, but I see people going out and buying a $100,000 SUV because they said their accountant said it's beneficial. And I don't want to say yes or no, but here's the point. If you don't need that, why would you go buy a new car just because somebody said take advantage of a tax break? That doesn't make sense.
And something that's going to go to zero over time.
And I'm sure you know this too. I say there's only two things you should ever borrow money for, and that's real estate and education. Everything else, you know, pay for it with, I don't want to say cash, but, you know, with what you earn, and because those are going to appreciate. Everything else you're buying is going to depreciate, especially a luxury vehicle like we're talking about. So, yeah, it's like you're trying to take advantage of a tax law, but you're spending a lot of money that you wouldn't need to spend. You're hurting yourself in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably living above your means if you're buying a $100,000 SUV. I mean,
for the sake
people,
of a tax break.
Yeah. So it's important to, I mean, cash flow is everything in a business. And sometimes you see businesses do pretty well, and then they get in a little slump, but they live like they're doing well. And I'll bring up myself because I got caught in that trap in 2008, 9, and 10 when the financial markets kind of went down. And I thought, well, it's going to be short-lived because usually the markets blip down for 3, 4 months, 5 months, they blip back up. And basically I didn't. And I was busy and probably, again, in the position where I wasn't paying attention and just trying to do my day-to-day stuff with clients and that. But anyways, I started burning through extra money I had, and luckily I had some extra money. And that whole thing probably cost me $250,000 to keep my office going. Now, luckily, I had some money rat-holed to the side, so we did it. But hindsight, if I would have had my numbers better, I would have been probably let a few people go, which, you know, you don't want to do. But the reality is, sometimes that's a way to fix the bleeding. So I didn't know I was bleeding that bad until, like you said, I was probably behind a couple quarters. And then I'm like, realized like, yeah, this is a problem. But at that point, you know, that money was gone, right? I mean, so you build up this money, got a little nest egg, and then blows back in. So that's what people need help with, is really making sure that on a month-to-month basis that they're making money. And some people, you know, they think they are, but you look at all the numbers and that, you're like, nah, you really aren't, right?
And it's not just making money, because there's a difference between profit and cash. You mentioned it a minute ago. Cash is king. And I can show you time and time again where we have a very successful company and they're growing. They're growing very well, and they run out of money. They're running out of money. The profit is great, but the cash is gone. It's because when you're growing,
you invest.
Well, the cash conversion cycle, there's a delay, right? You have to spend money to produce, but you're being paid 30 or 60 days later, and you run out of cash. But your but your income statement says you're doing great. So you're right. There's a conflict there, and people don't understand, how can I be running out of money? Business is fantastic, and that's part of that planning process and understanding that and not getting in that hole that you talked about. You know, your business was probably doing okay, but you have to, where's the money to pay
bills? Now that you mentioned that, we were growing too.
Right. Yeah, growth sucks cash.
So that was probably another thing. But I guess the main thing was, if you don't pay attention, it can sneak up on you pretty fast, and that was a little learning experience.
A lot of business owners, they've been doing their own books, or they use TurboTax. They don't have a benefit of anybody else looking at their numbers. Sometimes just getting somebody else to look at the trends.
It's funny you say that, because after that happened to us, my wife was a stay-at-home mom, and she came in maybe a day and a half, you know, to pay bills kind of thing, but wasn't involved in so much in the accounting side. But then she jumped on, and now she's my full bookkeeper, you know, stuff to prep. But she's, you know, we're more on the same page, because someone's watching the bottom line as I stay busy on my side.
Yeah.
So the other thing about being a business owner that a lot of people can take advantage of is you have limits on how much you can put away for retirement. There is limits, right? You can't just put away as much as you want. But a lot of times, if they can give their spouse some kind of job, and my wife was doing things a couple of days a week, but she had the kids, and you can defer money from them too. So you can not only put money away for yourself, you can put them on payroll and defer money that way too. So it's almost like you get to double dip on your retirement.
Because it's one household. Employee, right? Treat them as like
an employee. And it's one household, correct. So that's another kind of creative idea, right? I mean, because the company's doing real well. They're trying to figure out how to get tax breaks. And then you realize, well, what is your spouse to you? Well, she helps out, but we just don't pay her, you know? Or that happens a lot too, right? I mean, they just don't compensate because it's, you know, the spouse. You see that happening, or?
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
They're not being paid enough.
Or they're afraid to pay themselves because they're worried about keeping that cash in the bank to keep the operation running, right? So,
As far as business owners, what do you see some other mistakes they make? One of the mistakes I see people make is they have their money, that secured money that's going to do payroll, rainy day money, capital equipment money, and they want to keep a certain balance. And I just throw a number out. $150,000 is their, you know, the money they just keep in the bank. Well, a lot of the banks pay you 0.2%, 0.3%. And I, again, got sucked in that trap. And we had money to the side and realized that, you know, we're getting, you know, $20 a month in interest or whatever the heck it is. But there's accounts out there, FDIC insured, that can get you, and we got one, 3.75%. There's no minimum amount to put it in, no fees. So you can, if you can take advantage of your sitting cash, I mean, if you have 100 grand and now you're getting 3.75%, that's $3,700 a year, where the banks are probably paying you $100 a year or a couple hundred bucks. So I see that as a problem, because they don't think of that as working that kind of money, because they don't want to risk it.
Yeah, I have a client. He has a trucking company, and during COVID, there were ships sitting outside the port. They couldn't offload things fast enough. He made a lot of money during COVID, right? Or just during that time. He's sitting on $3 million in a Chase checking account, paying zero, you know, interest-free, non-interest bearing account. And so, we did the math, that the amount of money
that's $100,000 a year.
It was safe investment, right? Think if you put that into the market, right? But going back to your point, what's really nice these days is that the money can be transferred, you know,
immediately,
same day or 24 hours notice, liquid, and there's no penalties, there's no fees to move money back and forth. So if you're sitting on, most of us aren't sitting on $3 million, but if you're sitting on even, you know, $10,000, right? If you can move that back and forth in a day and capture that interest.
Speaking of that, I had a client in probably a month ago, and we dug more. And to me, it's like peeling back layers of onions. Like, I mean, you know, you can peel back 10 layers or 2 layers in a meeting, depending on what questions are asked. But their working capital for their business, they got a pretty big business, was like $1.5 million, and literally getting like 0.2%, 0.3%.
The banks love them.
Yeah. And then, you know, but their eyes got big, because I like, you know, you're talking thousands of dollars a month, FDIC. Why would you not do that? And anyways, people need to jump on that wagon if they're not doing it. And personally, too. So you have $25,000 in your bank account, because that's your rainy day money, or if you get, you know, your job gets displaced, personal people can do the same thing. Get a higher rate on your money.
Yeah, and the biggest reason why I see people have not done that traditionally is they want to protect that liquidity. They want to, you know, you used to have to put your money in a 90-day CD to get insured. You have to, there's transaction costs. Nowadays, it's immediate and there's no fees. So really, now you just need to know what to do. It's just a matter of, you know,
action.
Make one transfer.
Yeah.
Even if it's for a couple of days, you're making interest.
Yep. I see Russ Clark's eyes kind of open up wide with his mechanical shop. He has a mechanic shop for autos.
Yeah, but I don't do any work.
Well, that's because you're the boss.
Well, because they don't let me.
So, we're going to take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe we manage money for our clients differently from many other advisors. Our way works in close alignment with our clients' goals. Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor when it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement. We're clearly different. Visit YIVWM.com. Find out why investors switch to us. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and an SEC registered investment advisor.
Now I gotta cut loose, put loose, kick it off the sun left.
Hey Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here. Another great Friday morning in Yuma. Temperature is almost perfect. Hope the coolness doesn't hit us too hard. Last night, we had our open house in El Centro for Yuma Imperial Valley Wealth Management. So we had the chamber there. We had the ribbon cutting. Jeff came out for that, too. So had
he really has nothing to do then, right?
Had some music. It was a 5:30
at night.
Free food. Yeah. Had some music. Some drinks.
Wear a sombrero and play some mariachi music?
We're playing like 70s mellow kind of yacht music. But anyways, that was a fun time last night, so we can check that off our list done. People over there are really nice. I mean,
and that location has worked out for you?
We're right on Main Street. We're right next to the across the street's the police station. The other across the street the other way is the Imperial Water District, which has a ton of employees. Two doors down is the city, the county. Like, we're, like, in the mecca of, like, all that.
I would imagine, though, that your years of experience and being open in Yuma for so long is great credentialing. You're not a fly-by-night.
Yeah, and we told our story last night, so people kind of know that I'm just a kid from Dateland that
I wish I was there. I'd have added to the story some more reality.
Hey, he's been dove hunting with me. He knows there's some stories out there.
Yeah.
The people out there, to me, are very similar to Yuma people. And they're just people and, you know, trying to get ahead. But, it's like a kissing cousin of our demographics here, in my opinion. They got the farming. They got the government workers. They got the border, you know, border town. They got businesses, very similar.
Yeah, so. Agriculture, water problems, all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you really took their demographic and looked at ours, like, it's almost a pretty...
Except they're in California.
Yeah, well,
that's a whole different country.
Yeah, yeah, but it's only a 55-minute drive. So, like you mentioned, with the experience, you know, we really work as a unit in our office. So there's people tackling, you know, if there's problems or proposals. So we got all kinds of people using different people that, you know, like myself to figure out how.
Even Adrian, he plays well with others.
He does. You know, he, got to stroke him a little bit, but he does all right.
He's an intense guy.
Let's talk about the challenges with business owners with payroll, and that's actually probably the pain point for all businesses. If you say payroll, they roll their eyes or they
really. Yeah, we don't want to do it either, but you got to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's repetitive, right? So whether it's every two weeks or Let's talk payroll. You're the payroll king. What's your take on payroll and businesses?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a big step when you actually have to start paying people a W-2 and filing taxes and quarterly forms. So a lot of people don't even take that step, and they go the 1099 route. They just pay people, you know,
ooh,
cash, or, hey, you know, it's, you make $1,000, here's $1,000. And, you know, just kind of say they're just a contract employee. Well, there's very specific rules about who you can pay as a 1099 and who you can't. If you have an employee and they're treated like an employee, they've got to be W-2 because, again, the government's going to come back and say, you're just trying to avoid Social Security and Medicare taxes, right? A true contractor, a 1099, is somebody who sets their own hours, works on a job basis. You can't tell them they have to be here at, you know, Monday at 8 o'clock and go home at 5. I mean, they're their own boss. And that's really – there's a series of tests that the IRS will go down to determine if your employee is a contractor or should be a W-2. And most of the time, they should be W-2s. Yeah, but
the quickest thing is looking at their pattern of work, right? I mean, if you show up every morning at 8 or 9 and you leave at 3 or 4 – and that's a pattern, you're clearly...
That, and if you're directing what they do, meaning you as the management say, okay, here's what we're working on today.
Yeah.
Right? It's pretty clear they should be W-2. But again, most people, they don't want to go down the W-2 route.
It costs
money.
It's an easy way.
Yeah.
So let's talk about payroll. What's so hard about it? Getting the nuts and bolts of payroll, what's step one, payroll? I'm a business owner. I don't have payroll. I probably should be doing it, but I've been kicking the can down the road. And I say, Jeff,
when you talk about what's hard, you mean doing it internally versus hiring a company?
You probably don't want to do it internally because you can do it. But again, you're not a payroll expert. You're probably going to make mistakes. It's going to cost you. So hiring a company is what you're talking about, or hiring someone to do it for you. The first step is just getting you registered with the IRS and the state of Arizona to be able to electronically pay the tax payments. You've got to register with the Department of Economic Services so you can pay unemployment. There's a lot of, you know, behind the scenes registrations, and you can't do certain things until the government approves you for this and that. So again, it's not difficult, but if you've never done it before, it can be daunting, right?
Yeah.
Right. Much easier to say, you know,
someone
we've
else
done
could.
It. Once you've done it, you know, 3, 4, 5 times, it's kind of, you know, just routine. But so we'd have to get you registered, and then we'd have to get some information from each of your employees. And it's just, we've all filled it out, right? Your name, address, your marital status, you know, how much do you want to have withheld in taxes, you know, what withholding rate do you want for. It's just kind of the standard stuff. It's maybe a 5-minute form that the employees have to give us. And then, you know, we get it in. We determine what kind of cycle you want. I have some people that like to be paid weekly. Most people go every 2 weeks. We have people that go on the 15th and the 30th. We could do quarterly payroll. It just depends.
Now, do you do payroll yourself? I mean, you do payroll for your clients?
Yeah. We brought it all in-house because when we first started, again, we were doing the accounting, and we saw, and they would have to take this information, and they were using most people go to a third-party service. You know, ADP is a great company, but they're also, I worked at a company with 95,000 employees, and we used ADP. It's probably overkill for you and me with, you know, our 3, 4, 12 employees, right? So there's lots of companies out there. You know, I've worked with a lot of them as my role in companies. I've had to, you know, deal with them, and it's just a little bit harder because you got to call the 800 number if there's an error, you somebody's time card was wrong. You know, you don't have control
over
it.
It's not an easy
locally.
Fix.
But they're good. I don't like to talk badly about anybody, but when we take over your accounting, for instance, we can integrate your payroll into that same accounting system. We do, it's all in one place. We can see all the numbers. We're not waiting for a payroll company to tell us how much it costs. If you give me the wrong hours for one of your employees, you just have to, you know, pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, change so-and-so to this, right? It's a one-stop shop. And most people feel a lot more comfortable just sending a text or making a call to somebody they know saying, hey, can you fix this or add this person?
So if somebody wants to, if somebody wants you to do the payroll, just let them know what the people, the information, the rate, and how many hours every week. Just text you. How fast do they have to let you know? Like if they pay checks on Friday, when do they need to let you know how much?
So it takes 48 hours for a direct deposit notice. So typically, you know, a typical client they have a 2-week work cycle, ends on a Sunday night, and I say, you know, give me the hours on Monday. That gives me Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday for us to input the data that you give me.
So the checks will be out Wednesday. Or do you actually do checks or you just do transfers?
No, we encourage everybody to do direct deposit.
Okay.
So direct deposit, you know, typically is Fridays.
Right.
Most people want a direct deposit on Friday morning. So that means we have to have everything done by Wednesday afternoon.
Okay.
Right?
So there's a 3-day lag.
It's 2 days. Now we've also got there's another service that we're working with that actually gives us a 24 hour. So you can really, if you could give me the information, you know, Thursday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you get your checks, you get your direct deposit, you know, 5 a.m. the next morning. So that's kind of nice, having a very, very quick turnaround like that.
But there's been cases where if they don't withhold the right amount, and they do that for 18 months or something, I mean, you probably have stories where people have to come back with money because they weren't withholding enough for their employees, or maybe they weren't sitting enough in. I mean, it could bite you in the butt, right?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to let it's my job to make sure that you as an employer.
Yeah, but I'm not saying like you, what you're doing. I'm saying if I do it myself and I realize I'm miscalculating something for 18 months.
Oh, you could get in a world of trouble. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Well, but it could be it could be tens of thousands of dollars.
Well, when you say miscalculate, you mean for the business or for your person?
For the payroll. I mean, I just have bad numbers in there, and maybe someone gets an extra hour a week, and I'm not paying them, but not to be not to be vindictive. I just didn't know, and then they, I don't know. I've seen people come back with big issues over time.
I've seen employers get in trouble because they do it intentionally.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, then it's questionable: are you doing it intentionally, or is it a mistake? And then you say, we're going to make that back up. I'm going to pay an extra hour for the last 4 years. How much money is, you know, that pretty good lump sum coming out. So.
And the bigger issue, again, if you're paying your employees as a 1099 and they find out that they should have been W-2s, they're going to make you pay all that back pay and they're going to give you 100% penalty. So it's going to cost you two or three times what you're trying to save in the first place.
Only 100%.
Now, have you
it's our government.
Now, have you ever had that happen? Yeah, I mean, I know.
Well, we have a client, you know who this is, here in Yuma, who did that exact same thing, and it took him 6 months and $42,000 to, you know, catch up, and he wanted to do the right thing. He didn't. It was not fraud. He did not intentionally try to do this.
Well, you have to tell me off air who it is.
Confidentiality, sir.
Hey, Jeff's talking about himself. I know somebody who's done this. Come on, Jeff.
I know guys that have done it. I don't know if they've ever gotten in trouble
from your head, right?
Yeah. No, but my point is, this guy had to come up with $42,000 or whatever the number is. Yeah. It can really get you. So, you know, another thing I see business owners don't do, and I mastered this pretty well, is use credit cards that pay. I use my business account with Capital One, pays 2% cash back on any purchase. Period. So those things you pay every month, and you can, you know, pay through check, pay through ACH, but we try to throw everything on the credit card.
Right.
It's also easy to look at it when you're figuring out how
great records.
Yeah, how you spend money, but it doesn't seem like a lot. But you know, I take a trip every now and then, and a lot of times I tell the wife cash out the 2%, and you're like, you know, that's $4,000-$6,000. Our vacation's gonna be that much better because it's, you know, not our money. Yeah. It's like free money, but people don't do that. I actually turn business owners onto that are have way more cash, paying more stuff off than I have as a business, and it's amazing how that all just, and it doesn't really cost anything. I mean,
you just have to pay the credit card off every month.
Well, or you don't have to, but the point is if sometimes you have even like a debit card or some other credit card that has crappy rewards. So even if I decide not to pay it off every month and I go a month or whatever, just get one that has good cash back rewards.
Right.
It's huge. I mean, you don't realize
how.
But
you don't want to pay 10% or 20%.
No, no, yeah, interest.
Yeah.
I mean,
to get
ideally,
2% cash back.
You don't want to.
Yeah.
But my point is, if I'm using a no brand credit card and either paying it off or letting some ride, I'm doing it all, but I'm not getting any rewards for it. And to me, the rewards. I mean, you can get airline miles and shopping catalog, but I just like the cash back. And then you can do whatever you want.
Do you recommend that, Jeff, when you talk to clients?
Like a cash back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's
those little things add up.
Take advantage of anything that you're going to do. But like I said,
don't pay if you
miss 1 month of a payment and they charge you, you know, $200 a finance charge, doesn't sound like a lot, but that $200, it takes, you know, eight more months to get the 2% to break even.
I'll give you an example. One of our copy machine was getting older, and they always try to get you on these lease things, which if you read the fine print, those aren't great. And I said, okay, well, how much to buy one? And they had this number, and I think it was like 18 grand or something. And I said, okay, here's the deal. We kind of shopped it to make sure that was semi-competitive. It's a local company. Mm-hmm. I said, here's the deal. We're going to do it, but we're throwing this on the card. And no, I'm not going to eat the 3% or whatever it was, and they kind of hemmed and hawed, but they did it. Wow. So you know you throw $18,000 on a 2% cash back, yeah. That's $240 or whatever it is, but that adds up over time. My point is, highly recommend people use it if they're already using that strategy anyways, which a lot of people are. They just don't have good reward system. So I got a personal one on Capital One. Not trying to promote them, but on a personal level, I get 1.5% cash back on anything that purchase. So my whole family has it, wife uses it, yeah. And that all adds up at the end. It all goes into one pot, sure. And that's our traveling fund.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, and you could have your cash, Tom. I like the airline miles because, I like to get out of town every once in a while. So, yeah, I use my airline mileage card for all my expenses, and it really helps out.
You didn't realize that cash would buy an airplane ticket? You didn't know that?
No, I just use credit card.
Okay.
But they don't really give you cash. They give you...
No, they give you cash.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's money in the bank. I mean, yeah, it's a pretty little perk because you don't think about it. You don't look at it for, 6, 8, 12 months, and you realize, hey, I just got $3,000 that you could use whatever you want. We personally just use it for travel because it makes traveling that much funner when you're not flipping the whole bill, right?
It's not cutting into your budget.
Yeah. So, hey, we're going to take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe that knowledge is power. Since 2001, we've empowered the community with the financial insights and strategies needed to achieve your dreams. Whether you're planning for retirement or managing your wealth, our team is here to guide you every step of the way. Investment advisor services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk here. Tom Rush here, and my guest, Jeff Reiskamp with Yuma Tax Group. And we're talking taxes, accounting. We got a little bit more time here, but let me put Russ on the spot here, because I know he loves being put on the spot.
I like being on the spot.
So you being a business owner, yeah, and talking about some of these accounting issues and payroll and other things, uh-huh, what do you think are pain points, or what's your pain points from that side of the business?
What do you mean a pay point? Like, would I be willing to pay for?
Well, no, not necessarily willing to pay, but what makes you kind of wince a little bit when you're, you probably have problems in the garage, like making sure a mechanic does whatever, or you're missing a part, or you need to order a part. Because that's a pain point, right? You're like, dang, we need to get that done.
Yeah.
From the office standpoint, which is accounting, payroll, and that, do you have much of a pain point?
No. We're handling pain every day because everything is an unknown. You get under a hood and everything's pain. So for us, it's just kind of normal to have disruption, to have things not on time and all that. Not the accounting side of things, but that's our normal business. We get under a hood, and we know we fix one thing, and that means it helps us identify the other thing that's broke that the customer doesn't know about. So there's pain all over the time.
But like most business owners, and it depends on how your business is ran and how efficient you are, but like you said, the accounting and all that usually is down the page, and the first thing is fixing cars,
right?
I mean, that's what pays the bills.
Nobody that fixes cars touches the accounting.
Oh, yeah? You don't have the oil change guy?
No.
Yeah.
So it's a whole separate function.
Yeah.
And,
but do you find you're constantly running back and forth like, dang, I need to go back and punch in more numbers in the computer?
No.
Okay.
But, well, except for Chris. Chris, the main guy that runs it. He does the work orders because he does the actual part of inspecting the vehicle and triaging what's wrong and
so your database just feeds right into it. I mean, it's not
it
like
does, and it's all connected. All the computers are connected, and anytime we bill something out, it goes right into our QuickBooks.
Okay,
it transfers everything transfers right over.
Yeah.
You know, so we get it right off the actual billing itself. We don't have to repunch anything. When we do a work order.
So if you could wave a magic wand, and I tell this to business owners, and what's one thing you wish that would you can fix in your company, just to the top of your head?
I don't think I could come up with that. I mean, we need better productivity. We need better communications, like any business.
Okay.
We need all that.
And you say communications, is it like more about employees too?
Employees to Chris, to the customers and to our vendors at selling the parts, and you know, and all of that has to come together, because at the end of the day, it's not how many cars we get in to fix, it's how many we get out the door.
Yeah. So you're saying connect the dots, ABCD, ABCD.
Logistics.
Yeah. Okay.
Logistics are key. And I just brought my daughter in to help with that. Now, you know, my daughter ran Texas Roadhouse for years. She was a number two manager. She's all about logistics.
Okay.
Like,
she's your back office gal, kind of?
She just came in to help run all aspects of that, you know, as far as logistics, bringing it together and being, she's not going to turn wrenches.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But that's nice. You have someone you trust, right? Your daughter. And they're,
most of the time.
That means you only get to work, what, an hour a day instead of 2 hours a day?
I don't know what I put in for an hour. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
But I think that's the most with most companies is getting things done as quickly, efficiently, because time is money. And I don't know that my current staff and everything really understood the dynamics of if I could get this, you know, all these jobs done 20% faster.
Correct.
What would my productivity do to the bottom line? What would that do to my productivity? And of course, you're talking logistics.
Because if a bay's full with the same car, it's not making money on the next car that could hit the bay, right?
Well, and sometimes it's full and we're waiting on a part. Now, why are we waiting on a part? Did we not order it on time? Sure. Or we don't have the right vendor? We don't trust them?
Yeah.
Or whatever? And why isn't that mechanic being able to spend the time working on the next job, preparation, diagnostics, or something, while this car we're waiting on a part?
Yeah.
And those are the details and logistics issues that we're working into.
See, that's the beauty about working with businesses. They all have different pattern, you know, or different identity, different everything. I mean, you can take...
Do you know what it costs an hour to work on a car?
No idea.
It's about $130 to $200 an hour.
Like from a business,
that's what the billing is. You know, if you're going to a deal, you're going to pay $160, $180 an hour to have work on a car. Well, I want that car to have a 1 hour bill in 1 hour. I don't want it to have a 1 hour bill in 3 hours.
Yeah, 1.8 hours or something.
Well, exactly. We want to do that. And that's all decided by a lot of performance books in the industry that will tell you that to replace that engine takes 15 hours.
Yeah.
Now, if it takes me 30 hours to do a 15-hour job, I'm only getting paid for 15. I don't bill by the hour. I bill by the job.
Yeah.
I only get paid for 15. My job is to get that down. And with the right tools and stuff, I can get that down to 10 hours.
I know how you could do that, Russ.
How?
Each bay has a clock that starts at 60 minutes that goes backwards.
So you're
at the very end, if it's not done yet,
you're thinking the same way. And
you come out and throw
shock to it. There's an electric shock
collar. Yeah, you get zapped or something happens.
But here's the problem with that is quality.
Yeah.
You know, if you put too much pressure on only speed,
then
car's going to leave without the drain plug in.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I get it.
So there's a balance there, and the balance, again, comes back to communication, education.
Yeah.
And we haven't done a lot of that because we operate like a small shop. We're limited number of people, limited things, so we think we don't need procedures and practices in place.
Process, yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And that's what Casey's bringing in. And I really think what that'll do is afford us to not only double the business in the same footprint,
mm-hmm.
But we can actually add another footprint, like out in the foothills, once we get procedurally correct.
Yeah. Well.
And again, and it'll get me down to working a half hour a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Walk your dog every day. So. So what's a worst horror story you ever heard with a small business owner, Jeff? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. I don't know if you can find a worst. Going back to, I want to comment where you asked, what are pain points, and I think anybody can nod their head and say, yeah, this has happened to me. But it's any time you receive a letter from the Department of Revenue or the IRS. That's what stresses out a lot of my clients. They don't, you know, and they're just like, what is this? Why are they coming after me? And you get a letter from the government, it's more serious than getting a letter from your neighbor, right? Yeah. It's like, what can they do? I got a lot. I mean, I have clients that
owe they back can taxes. Actually freeze your bank account.
Oh,
right?
No, I got clients. I was out of town, you know, a couple weeks ago, and a guy calls me, and I said, this is probably important because he's not going to call me on 3 o'clock on a Saturday unless something's going on. He called me and said, hey, the Department of Revenue just took $25,000 out of my account. I have no money to, you know, I can't pay my employees tomorrow. I'm like, okay, well, let's see what's going on here. So obviously they're not going to do that
immediately
first day. Yeah. But there's an ongoing problem here.
If you just put your head in the sand, that could happen.
A lot of people are afraid of the IRS and afraid of the Department of Revenue, but I work with them all the time, and they're really good people. They're just doing their job.
How do you get them on the phone?
Oh, we have ways.
Because usually it's a 1 hour, you know, you're 1 hour wait and you're on hold, and then they cut you off.
There's different ways, right? Like, for instance, I have a practitioner hotline that I could call in on that bypasses all the, you know, the lines.
They just don't want to talk to me, is that it?
But, well, here's another example. You know, a lot of people, sales tax here in Arizona, we call them TPT taxes. But that stresses a lot of people out. A lot of people are behind on sales taxes, or they collect it every month, but they don't turn around and remit it. It's not our money. It's the government's money.
So that bank account looks bigger than what it should.
Oh, yeah, and then they get used to having that extra money there. Well, you get a generic letter that says call 1-800 Arizona Department of Revenue, and you, Russ, you're going to get a, you know, a 3-hour hold. You don't know who you're dealing with. I've got a person there that I work with. She's helped me out with dozens of clients, and I said, look, I got somebody. I'll call her. She always calls me back.
So you're not joking. You have like a private line kind of thing?
It's not a private line, but I have a relationship. I've sent so many clients to this one particular tax collector, if you will. She's an account manager, and she helps. She bends over backwards for clients. You know, people are afraid the government's just going to take all your money. No, she will extend deadlines. She will waive penalties. She, you know, they want to work with
us. Finding somebody to waive penalties is hard. I've worked with some accountants at the IRS. Very helpful, but there's a different office that does the penalties.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of times the government's so big, the left doesn't talk to the right. But
I was charged penalties that are I shouldn't be. I sent the money and all that. They sent it back because they misunderstood it. Yeah. And then I'm calling up saying, why are you sending this money back? And then they sent me a penalty for not sending in the money.
Okay. Yeah. there are crazy stories where, you know, that they've lost the check. Or
no, we sent it electronically.
Okay.
And they actually sent a set check back saying we overpaid.
Hey, when the IRS takes money out of the business account, like you said they did, do you ever see it come back in pretty quick if you like have a good argument, or are they like one-way ticket?
It's hard to get it back once they've taken that on a lien, for instance. But in this case, you know, again, going the next day, going, you know, 10 hours later, going back to our contact at the Department of Revenue, she understood what's going on, and we said we can't make payroll tomorrow. Can we do something? They actually put 2/3 of the money back in, saying, okay, this is how much you need for payroll. We had to send them like our payroll register.
I've never heard of such a thing.
This is that they want to work with us. Yeah, they will work with us. So she said, I'll give you, you know,
60 days.
I'll give you $15,000 back, but now you better, you know, we're going to get you on a payment plan. And then, you know, next week, you need to give me another.
But see,
check.
That makes me feel better about my government. They're actually there to.
They are there to help.
To
I really
right,
think so.
To
yeah.
do the right thing. Whatever that is.
And they're good people, and they're not out to make your life miserable. They have a job to do, right? But if you know, I always say, if you just call and say, hey, I'm working on it, that's 80% of the battle.
I think so. And eventually I get to know someone's name, and that's rare. They don't always tell you a last name. And they don't give me phone numbers, although I have a fax number. I can fax her and say, call me. That's the only step I've ever gotten. And that was to help a single problem.
Yeah. Well, I have a person at the Arizona Department of Revenue.
That's Arizona. Okay.
Yeah, it depends.
I'm talking feds.
Yeah, Arizona's a little bit easier to deal with because, you know, they're localized. They're right here. They have offices.
Will you call this number and say, let me talk to Sally? You always ask for the same person?
I have a direct line.
You have a direct line?
15 seconds.
Okay. Hey, Yuma, have a great weekend. Do something fun. Spend some time with your family and be safe. And thanks for listening.
Thanks, Tom.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still.
today.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU.
Offered through CWM LLC and SEC.